On February 24, 2020, in Oak Park, Michigan, career criminal Kenyell Brown shot himself in the head in a backyard after being surrounded by police. He would die 4 days later, ending a two-month-long murder spree that left six people dead. After his death, the city as well as the entire state of Michigan was shocked to find out that this habitual offender was actually a police informant. Welcome to History's Biggest Villains. Kenyell Brown was born on July 3, 1979 in River Rouge, Michigan. He had a large family with several siblings and spent his childhood in the River Rouge area as well. He was a good basketball player in high school before he developed a drug addiction, which caused a huge shift in his personality. He would then commit to a life of crime. In August 1997, Kenyell was arrested on assault charges and sentenced to a year in the Wayne County Jail. After being released in 1998, he was arrested again in 1999, for gun possession and resisting arrest, receiving a suspended 4-year sentence. In October of that year, he was arrested again for illegally possessing a taser. He reached an agreement with the police and pled guilty in exchange for information on other inmates. As a result, the charges against him were dropped and he was released. In September 2000, Brown was arrested yet again, this time for drug possession. However, he was released after providing information on other crimes in the county. In February 2001, he caused a car accident that killed one person and seriously injured another. He was arrested after attempting to flee the scene. He was then charged with second-degree murder, resisting arrest, intentionally inflicting moderate injury resulting in death, driving without a license, and illegal gun possession. The murder charge was dropped, and he was given 10 years in prison, being paroled in 2010. Wow, you kill someone and you get off on parole, it's nuts. In June 2014, Kenyell was arrested in Detroit for illegal gun possession, his third gun charge. During a jail stint, he provided his dead brother's name as an alias and said he had a mental disorder. He also said, "The only reason I have a gun is because it's crazy out here." In March 2015, he was recruited by the ATF as an informant. Due to the Armed Career Criminal Act, his three gun convictions earned him a 15-to-life sentence. But 2 months later, the Supreme Court declared some of the provisions of the act unconstitutional. Brown accepted a guilty plea for being a felon in possession of a firearm. Brown's appointed attorney pleaded to the court for leniency, asking that his client be sentenced to the 15-month minimum. His attorney wrote, "Mr. Brown is tired of the street life and is truly motivated to turn his life around so he could be a productive member of society and a better role model for his children." The judge sentenced Brown to 21 months in jail, followed by 2 years probation. He was released in February 2017 after serving 14 months. He violated his parole in May and was arrested again, but the federal agency intervened and he was released in July. Over the next 2 years, Kenyell violated his parole several times, but avoided jail time due to his informant status. In July 2018, Brown was arrested in Lincoln Park for drunk driving. He tested positive for cocaine and weed 5 times between September and November of that year. In January 2019, he tested positive for cocaine, opiates, and benzodiazepines. According to his probation report, he failed to comply with the substance abuse program, and he missed his scheduled treatment session on October 2, 2018. On November 2, 2018, the therapist noted that Brown hasn't contacted her to schedule any treatment sessions and hasn't returned any attempts to contact him. Brown also missed 4 scheduled drug tests from December 2018 to February 2019. In March, he was arrested for the previous probation violations, but in May 2019, he was again released on a $10,000 unsecured bond. He was sent to the Sacred Heart Inpatient Drug Treatment Program in Madison Heights, where he stayed for 3 weeks. Brown was released from Sacred Heart on June 12, 2019. 2 weeks later, he was arrested in Hazel Park after police found him asleep in his car with a blood alcohol level of 0.137. In Michigan, the legal limit is 0.08. He also had a suspended license. He was sentenced to 72 days in the Oakland County Jail on September 5, 2019. On December 7, 2019, at around 3:15 a.m., Kenyell got into an argument with 31-year-old Lauren Harrington before shooting her multiple times, killing her. On January 30, 2020 in Beechwood, Brown visited some childhood friends, 48-year-old Dorian Patterson and his brother Gerald, as all of them drank to excess. After Gerald left to go to work, 52-year-old Kimberly Green and 44-year-old Clifton Smith came by the house. Late in the evening, an argument occurred and Brown shot all three of the others in the house, killing Green and Patterson, as well as wounding Smith, who managed to leave the crime scene and report the incident to the police. Based on his testimony and that of Gerald Patterson, Kenyell Brown was put on the wanted list and his informant status was terminated.
Well, duh.
On February 18th, Brown shot and killed 49-year-old Garcius Woodyard in Highland Park while trying to rob him. 2 days later, 41-year-old Amir Thaxton was shot dead inside his clothing store in Detroit, with his money, valuables, and car stolen afterwards. Thaxton was familiar with Brown. On the day of his murder, he was recorded visiting him on video surveillance as well as his car. And after this, Brown became a suspect in his murder. 2 days later, Brown shot and killed 36-year-old Eugene Jennings while trying to steal his car. According to investigators, he was his last known victim. The manhunt for Brown was led by the United States Marshal Service Detroit Fugitive Apprehension Team, the ATF, and the Explosives Detroit Field Division. On February 24, 2020, Brown was seen visiting an adult bookstore in Oak Park. He was spotted by two employees who called the police. He couldn't escape in time as the police soon sectioned off several blocks and began a search operation to arrest him. Brown tried to sneak away by moving through houses but was spotted by tenants, after which he was surrounded by police in the backyard. As he was being arrested, Brown shot himself in the head. He initially survived, but due to complications, he died 4 days later on February 28th. He was 40 years old. After his death, the community, as well as the entire state of Michigan, were shocked to find out that Brown, a repeat offender, was a police informant. On October 29, 2015, U.S. District Judge Bernard Friedman held what was supposed to be a sentencing hearing for Brown, who had repeatedly violated probation stemming from a 2014 gun arrest. Brown had failed drug tests, been arrested for drunk driving, and missed mandatory meetings. But instead of locking him up for his repeated parole violations, Friedman released him at the request of a federal law enforcement agency that, for reasons undisclosed, wanted Brown free. Friedman never mentioned that request in court, though he obliged, telling Brown that while he's aware that he has a hard time following the law, he was going to give him a break. There were no objections from the prosecution. "I know you have an alcohol problem," Friedman told Brown, "and I know some other things are going on in your life right now, which I appreciate, but it's the right thing to do, and as a result of that, I'm going to give you a break." The judge continued, "I'm going to discharge you from probation, not give you any other time, because I think hopefully you can stay out of trouble. And I think you're doing some of the right things too, and I appreciate that. And I think you're entitled to a break for that." Then came a warning. "So stay out of trouble," Freeman urged Brown. "I don't want to see you again, okay?" Brown responded, "Thank you, judge." That same day, the Detroit police signed Brown on as an informant. He would work for a Detroit DEA task force. According to DPD Chief James Craig, Brown only conducted one operation and nothing came of it. According to Craig, Brown was paid $150 for providing information to law enforcement about drug and gang activity in Southwest Detroit, but the information he provided never panned out. Craig also said that he never knew of Brown's multiple probation violations, which are publicly available and easy to find on the federal court's PACER system. He said had he known of these violations, he would have never used Brown as an informant. How are you a police officer and you're not doing research on the people that you're making informant? What type of police work is this? This is a failure of the justice system. This is a legit failure, because it's obvious that this dude didn't belong in society, because he would get arrested, then he'd get out, and 2 months later, or 5 months later, he's doing another thing that's getting him arrested. He's getting arrested again after time, after time, after time, after time. How many probation violations do you need to, like, okay, we need to lock him in jail for a good amount of years? 3 gun charges? Multiple drug test failures? Failure to adhere to the court-mandated meetings? You killed someone in a car crash and you seriously hurt another person, and you're driving with a illegal gun since you're a felon, and you're driving with no license? You should have put him away for at least 30 years or more. But, you know, the system. We got to use you to catch more people, as if his information was so much more useful than the next guy you could have gotten. Like, come on, man. That doesn't even make sense. And now 6 people died because of the lack of structure. You obviously see this guy is a habitual offender. This guy violates his probation every chance he gets. He doesn't care that he's on probation. He's going to keep doing what he's doing. You're just constantly letting him out. Those 6 people that died should have never died. Really, the first person that died in the car crash shouldn't have died either. Like, you should have stopped him after that. But, you know, typical I don't even know what it is. And for the police officer to say that he didn't know that he had multiple probation violations, that's bullshit. That's legit bullshit. How are you a cop and you don't research the people that you're talking about? Like, you obviously know he's committed crimes. You don't look into his record, into his rap sheet, and see what, like, all these, his long rap sheet. You don't see all these arrests. You don't see all these gun charges, all these drug arrests. I don't know, man. Hope you enjoyed this story. I really appreciate all the support you guys give me on this channel. Thank you to everyone who watches these videos. Thanks to all the subscribers. Appreciate all of you. Leave a like, hit that subscribe button if you're new, turn on my post notifications. Thank you so much. Have a great day. I'm out. Peace.